What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America, discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear: strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/ohio's time.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 1025-1063, The Game in the Game Nashville app. We are live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heat and Cooling and Electrical Game Studio, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook. Download their app today. Use promo code THEGAME. And hey, Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace is brought to you by the News & Sports Sportsbook with cash rewards and the easiest, simplest betting experience possible. Betting just got better. Download the Zen Sports Sportsbook app today. We just heard from Ryan Tannehill and Mike Vrabel at the podium in the final day of OTAs. I believe that is the last time that we hear from Vrabel or Tannehill until the beginning of training camp.
Yeah, more than likely.
I would say so. And I believe he said report date is July 25th for the team for training camp. So I would mean that would make me believe 26th, 27th, late July would be the days that would be open to the media for us to go to training camp. So it's going to be a long, cold, dark 5 weeks.
Unless they trade, unless they make a move via free agency.
Should be a little quiet.
Yeah.
Unless they sign D-Hop.
Yeah.
Well, that would be a different story.
And then if they don't, that list of people, hanging around looking for a job, you wonder what's going to happen with that small list. There are some veterans that you could probably get for a song, basically. And if you cut them in week one, you're not really out a whole lot of money. If it just blows, doesn't work, you know. So what is different about now? Today, it's June 14th. July 25th. When you were playing, Derek, say young in the early part of your career, was there another session in there like early July or late June between now? What's changed?
Well, I think what has changed, obviously, they don't have the time that they once had. So that changes.
It doesn't sound like this was a real vigorous practice or whatever they just did. Yeah.
Because you can only be on
the
field so many
hours.
And,
voluntary.
Whatever. So typically, in the past, rookies had more days with the team, like doing on-field stuff. Because of the new collective bargaining, they don't have that anymore. So this will be the last opportunity as a team that they get together. He said the rookies will stay an extended period of time, possibly until the end of May, until the end of June, somewhere around there. But then they're going to get there, two or three weeks off before camp start. But he still expects them to be doing the things that they need to do. He even said, listen, we're going to give them a template of things we want them to do, and we encourage them to do that they should implement in some of their, workout regiments or whatnot. So they're going to try to keep close tabs on the rookies as much as they possibly can within the limits or the rules of the new CBA. But after this, the veterans are gone. You won't see them anymore. And you'll see the rookies, here and there, but they're not doing any interviews or anything. So they will be working out. I don't know how the new CBA is with classroom stuff as far as the rookies after this period, once they're done now this week. I don't know moving forward if they are going to have classroom time. They may.
Mike Vrabel said they would stick around for the rest of the rookie program.
Yeah.
And I don't know what that looks
like. So the rookie program may end toward the latter part. What is it? Is it June yet? Yeah, it's June. What?
Mid-June. 10?
Yeah, mid-June. So it may run through the end of June. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a lot of working out, weight room stuff, get your treatments if you need it. Again, I don't know how much classroom stuff or on-the-field stuff they're allowed to do, even with the rookies at this time. But I'm sure if they are, they're going to try to get it all in as much as possible before they go to their some guys may stay here. Some guys may go back to, you know, their home city or whatnot and work out. So it just, because so much has changed, it's hard to give a definitive answer on, okay, what does it look like now for the rookies once they leave, once it's over with and they have that 3 weeks off? What does it look like? Are they in the building? Do they work? Do they classroom stuff? I don't know.
What would you do in between those few weeks between mini camp and training camp? And I know the CBA has changed, mm-hmm. and what is required, what is voluntary has changed. But
as
that
a
time off
player,
before training camp, what would you do?
As a younger player? Just
either
as a younger player,
or
I would,
younger player.
I continue to work out. I continue to bury my head in the playbook. As a veteran player, you continue to work out. If you have a new playbook, you continue to bury your head in the playbook. Mm-hmm. You know, and you just want to make sure you are physically ready for a grueling, you know, 17-plus game season in the NFL. So you stick to your regimen, you stick to your workout stuff. But for rookies, it's going to be hard because now they have to transition from working out from the combine to working out to be prepared for a season that they have no idea how it looks. Vrabel can tell them. They can get some templates, but they don't know how it looks because they've never been in the situation. You can talk to veteran players. Mm-hmm. Veteran players can sort of guide you on, hey, this is what. But ultimately, you don't know what it looks like because you've never been a part of it. So
right. You
try to work out based upon, you know, your college years and, you know, what you feel your body needs at this juncture of your early career. So. They're going to get the work in, I would hope. But veteran guys, just, man, I'm just going to continue to do what I've been doing and make sure that I'm physically ready. The mental part, after a while, you get the mental part. The mental part is there. You know what it takes to play in the NFL. That's for the younger guys. The mental and the physical part is for the younger guys, both mm-hmm. together. But as a veteran guy, you know what it takes from a mental standpoint and from a physical standpoint, what it's going to take to play in the NFL. You know it already. You've been through it. So you just got to make sure more so from the physical standpoint, like, because each year it gets harder.
Right.
Each year it gets harder. So you got to make sure you're ready to go from a physical standpoint. Mentally, I think I think guys are pretty much, for the most part, good because they know what to expect. They've been through it from a mental standpoint. But from a physical standpoint, every year is different because you're getting older. You may be dealing with some injuries. You may be rehabbing. So every year presents a different problem or a different solution for how you sort of attack the offseason from a physical standpoint.
Coming up next, I want to get into who was not at OTAs today. Remember, it is voluntary, but who was not at OTAs today and what Vrabel had to say about somebody who was there today. We'll get into that coming up next. And, of course, your thoughts, your calls, your texts as well. 615-737-1025. Tune in for Nashville Sounds Baseball tonight at 6:35 p.m. on 94.9 The Fan. The Sounds take on the Gwinnett Stripers, the AAA affiliate of the Atlanta Braves. Sounds Baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by 312 Pizza Company, Farm Bureau Health Plans, and Family Leisure. Caroline Willie DeMace, 1025, 1063, The Game. Caroline Willie DeMace is brought to you by the New Zen Sports Sportsbook with cash rewards and the easiest, simplest betting experience possible. Betting just got better. Download the Zen Sportsbook app today. The Titans out on the field for the final OTAs of the offseason. 5 weeks until training camp starts. So TD reported, this is on TD's Twitter, that there was no sign of Treylon Burks, Derrick Henry, Daniel Brunskill, Racy McMath, Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, Kevin Byard, Jeffrey Simmons, Azeez Al-Shaair, Amani Hooker, T.R. Tartt, DeNico Autry, Sean Murphy-Bunting, among others. What do we make of a whole lot of absences today?
That it wasn't mandatory and that they get their work in. And, you know, guys are like, okay, I'm off. There's nothing we're doing. We got our work in that we needed to get in, and now they're going to get back to their routines of working out. Or some guys may be going on vacation before they get back into their workout again. So I wouldn't say, even though I'm sure Vrabel mm-hmm. was probably hoping they would all come. But this is, I don't think this is a big deal that all of those individuals chose not to come. Because again, it's not mandatory for them to be there today.
I don't view this as big of a deal no. as maybe the initial OTAs mm-hmm. period. It's a one-off. It's one day in the middle of the week, 1 week removed from mandatory minicamp. I don't read too much into it. But there was someone who was there today, Christian Fulton, who has been a big topic of the offseason. Mm-hmm. Christian Fulton, of course, Vrabel called him out in the middle of last season as being one of those repeat offenders, along with David Long Jr., mm-hmm. of the soft tissue injuries. And that's the reality of what Christian Fulton has really been facing the past few years. He's on the field, off the field, on the field, off the field. He's a repeat offender on IR, it seems like, week in and week out. Mm-hmm. Christian Fulton was not at the initial OTAs period. We learned that he was working out in Miami with his own trainer. He was back for mandatory minicamp. The first day of mandatory minicamp, he was on the bike. Second day, he was getting out there a little bit more, going through some drills, was a little bit more active. Mm-hmm. And he was there today at mandatory minicamp. Christian Fulton spoke with the media, kind of on the side, not at the podium, but a little media scrum on the side of practice. And he said, "I wasn't hurt. I wasn't at OTAs, but I'm not hurt." Mike Vrabel was asked about Christian Fulton earlier. This was what Mike Vrabel had to say.
That time away maybe isn't where Christian Fulton has done some of his best work. He talked to us today about kind of revising his off-season program and everything and understanding what you were saying about repeat offending. How do you feel like he's done in terms of his commitment to changing?
Well, first of all, I wouldn't say that that's, you know, you stated when you started that the 5 weeks away was time that, you know, he hadn't done his best work. I didn't say that. Nobody else has said that. That's a, you know, personal opinion that I probably don't agree with. But it's, you know, I mean, we ask every player that you train the way that you're going to play. And when you play a skill position, you have to run. You have to go and open up, and you have to change direction. And it's not 5 yards. It's whenever you have to cut. So there's reactionary movements. D linemen, like, there's certain things that are going to be in the job description. And we ask every player. That's why we do the drills that we do. That's why we practice the way that we practice, because we want to practice the same way that we're going to play and to finish and to try to go get an extra block and protect the guy with the ball and all those things that we think help us win. So that's the most important thing, is that you're thinking in a manner that you're going to train the way you're going to play.
Okay, that was Mike Vrabel on Christian Fulton. And he was also asked at the very beginning of the press conference by Teresa Walker, asked about Christian Fulton. He's here. What's going on with him? He said he wasn't hurt. Vrabel said, "You really want to ask that question, Teresa? You really want that to be your one question?" Was clearly a little testy.
Irritated, yeah.
Irritated is the right word about that.
But he
that
likes to mess
of,
with Teresa. He
Fulton.
Loves Teresa.
He does love Teresa.
He loves Teresa. He likes to mess with her. And he knows that they have this thing back and forth. They kind of like the banter.
Yeah, but
it's always the ceremonial first question. I didn't read too much into that.
But he should have just answered the question. I mean, it was a legitimate question by now how he took it. You know, that's a different story, but it was a legitimate question about, you know, Fulton and him being out there. And it seems like, you know, Vrabel wanted to sort of skirt that question about Christian Fulton and how he's looking and, you know, whatnot. Because, again, I think he felt he's been burned a few times when he said some things, you know, about players and good things. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, months later or weeks later, something else turns out to be different, you know, i.e. A.J. Brown, when he said, "I don't see him as not as long as I'm the coach." And then what happens? He gets traded. So, hey, man, he's more like, "Hey, I'm just going to wait and see now." But, you know, it doesn't seem, because he started to break down, especially when Paul asked him. He started to break it down, and I'm trying to think, is he saying that him working with his trainer isn't getting him ready for what he has to do on the football field?
See,
that's the way
you could
I looked
interpret
at
it.
Yeah, that's
ways.
The way I interpreted it, because because you got to understand sometimes how coaches think. Mm-hmm. And sometimes their non-question is, their non-answer is the answer. And sometimes they're sort of meandering around the answer very slow.
What they don't say is almost just as more telling as what he does say.
Exactly. So by him saying those things about Christian Fulton, and he didn't try to make it about Christian Fulton. He was just saying, players, we ask that you do some of the things that you do as a football player, not run 5 yards and cut. I mean, are you saying that's what Christian Fulton was doing?
Yeah.
Five yard and cut.
He wasn't actually doing
like football stuff. Like, I'm cutting. I may not cut at five. I may cut at eight or four, something like that. Is he saying he's not replicating what it's going to truly be like on a football field?
I'll give you my interpretation. Uh-huh. And again, it's tough. It's tough to try to read between the lines of what he's saying, or if he's just saying, I got to say something, so let's be very generic. Let's try to keep it down the middle and not give anybody anything that suggests that I'm really against Christian or anything. Like, on one hand, you could say he's trying to sort of massage a little bit this notion of he wasn't there, he's got his own guy. And Paul basically asked the question like, hey, these haven't been very productive weeks. And he said, I don't want to put a label on that, basically. You're saying he hasn't been productive.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying that. Mm-hmm. I think in saying that, it was basically, look, these are the things we expect of a cornerback, right? Mm-hmm. There are things that you have to be able to do. And so running a certain way is the way so you got to do what you got to do to prepare yourself to make the cuts, make the reads, make the sprints, and execute. You got to get yourself ready to be able to do those things. Mm-hmm. It's clear he hasn't been able to get his body to where it can withstand the rigors of those movements. When he's healthy, he's a pretty good corner. Mm-hmm. So that's how I read it. And so I don't know if there was a little bit of, hey, you know, he thinks he's smarter than our people, so he's going to his guy. You know, you could interpret that
I'm going to go out on a limb and say it's probably a little bit of that. Like, listen, you know, you need to be here. We know your body better. You know, you need to be. But if you feel that's what you need to do, then okay. I'm not going to comment on that. I'm not going to, you know, leave. This is from a generic standpoint. This is what we do. This is what we ask our players to do. Simulate football moves, football time, real time. Don't run 5 yards and cut or do these robotic movements. So it is. Some coaches do, especially coaches in that old school frame of thought, sort of. They feel, we are going to work you better than they do. Mm-hmm. It's just the way it is. And they get irritated when you do. Unless you're like a Derrick Henry, where they can't say anything. It's like, wow.
How can you question?
Derek's doing his thing. That's all.
If you need to go out and do the most strange, obscure workouts and, you know, run up a hill while dragging a, you know,
driving a Boeing 747 on your back, then do it.
Derek Henry's doing some very interesting
cutting edge, outside the box kind of stuff, right? Mm-hmm. He did the
carrying a monster truck tire on his shoulder while balancing on a medicine ball.
And he had his own guy.
Yeah.
He had his own team of guys.
Yeah.
And it wasn't in the Titans thing.
But I think he's kind of earned that right.
Yeah, he's earned that right.
I think you do have to earn that right. And Mike Vrabel might be looking at Christian Fulton and saying, what have you done to earn the right to go train with your own guys?
But we had this discussion before. If you're Christian Fulton and what you have done for this to this point in your career hasn't worked, so trying something new, I understand that viewpoint. Mm-hmm. He knows this is a big year. He's in a contract year. He's got to, if he wants to get that next contract and a good contract, he needs a good year.
I also wonder, Christian Fulton spoke with the media in a scrum, said, I was not hurt. Mm-hmm. Why were you on the bike on the first day of mandatory minicamp? Is that a hold-in?
Doesn't want to get hurt?
Man, no, you can't.
If you're not hurt, then why else are you on the bike?
Exactly. That is an interesting question.
Let's continue the conversation.
Because it's the last year of the contract, right? The last thing he needs is to pull a hammy in that workout.
But also, it's the last year of a contract.
Yeah.
Earn it.
He'll have a spot if he plays well. if he comes into camp and he's ready to go with his guy or with the Titans guys, he'll be in the lineup, right? It's not like he's going to lose his job to somebody else. It's up to him.
Let's continue the conversation coming up next on Christian Fulton and what Mike Vrabel had to say about DeAndre Hopkins. And, of course, your thoughts, your calls, your text as well, 615-737-1025. Caroline, Willie, DeMays, 1025-1063, The Game. Caroline, Willie, DeMays, 1025-1063, The Game in The Game Nashville app. Hey, the Nashville Sounds are having a block party on Junior Gilliam Way from 3 to 5 p.m. in honor of 615 Week this Saturday. There'll be live music, inflatables, balloon artists, food trucks, hair braiding, and so much more. It's going to be a blast. It's a free event before the Sounds game this Saturday. So Mike Vrabel was asked about Christian Fulton. Paul Kaharsky asked about Christian Fulton. And Vrabel does what I've noticed he does a lot whenever he doesn't want to talk about an individual player. And he says, but the team. He talks about the team. This is what we want all of our players to do. This is what we want the whole team to do. I'm not going to talk about Christian Fulton specifically. I'll talk about the whole team, the expectations of the whole team. But Christian Fulton spoke with the media on his own, and he said that he was not hurt. But on the first day of mandatory minicamp, he was on the bike. Now, Christian Fulton is going into a contract year, his fourth and final year in this deal since he was a second-round pick. The way that I view it is, look, Christian Fulton, you've already been called out by the coach once for being a repeat offender of soft tissue injuries. I understand that you going out and doing your own thing, that might be your way of saying, hey, what you're doing, me doing things the Titans way in the offseason hasn't been working for me, so let me try something different. But I think that this is a prove-it year for Christian Fulton. And I don't think it's a very good look for him to be sitting out on the bike, quote-unquote, holding in potentially if he, in fact, was not hurt, if he's trying to earn that second contract.
Well, Derek, you made a point right before we came back on that's an interesting one. Because when you're in your contract year, and this should not be taken as a reflection of you don't like where you are, right? But you have to – it's a business. You want to be a good teammate. You want to have a great year. You want your team to win. But you're also – you have to be – everything you do is going to be looked upon by all 32 teams, including the team that you're on, the 31 other teams as well, right? So that's the kind of thing that people will take note of.
Yeah, they will.
Good or bad.
Good or bad. I mean, it is sort of curious why – and this is maybe why, you know, Vrabel answers the questions the way that he answers them when it comes to certain players, i.e. Christian Fulton, that in his mind, okay, you went out and you did all this stuff. You worked with your trainers down in Miami. You did all this stuff. And then the first day of camps, you're not on the field. What's going on here?
Yeah.
Isn't that you went down there to get better? Because obviously what we were not doing, it wasn't working. So you went to your trainer, which is great. Okay, that's what you want to do. But then you come back to us. And you don't practice the first day?
Like, who do you think
and
you are?
And you're on a bike? And then
you tell everybody you're not hurt.
Exactly. Yeah. And you tell everybody you're not hurt.
Because I gave him the benefit of the doubt during mandatory minicamp. And I said he's either hurt or he's holding in. And I cannot think that Christian Fulton, in the standing that he is in this organization, is holding in. He's got to be hurt.
So, and then he comes out and says, well, I'm not hurt. Then why in the hell were you not and that's what Vrabel's thinking. Well, why in the hell you, like, and obviously, I'm sure, before they got on the field, Vrabel knew he wasn't practicing because obviously it had to be ran through the trainers, and the trainers had to speak to the head coach and the GM. Hey, these are the guys that are still dealing with injuries. These are the guys that we're bringing along slowly. These are the guys that we've cleared that are ready to go. Here you go. Here's the list. All right. Okay, I see Harold Landry's on here. We're bringing him along slowly.
Caleb Farley.
Why the hell is Christian Fulton on this list? Didn't he just come back from working out with his people? What the hell is going on here? Well, he said it. Coach, he. Okay, all right. We walk out of the field. Not after looking at all that, ask me a question about Christian Fulton. I am going to talk about the team. I'm not going to talk about him. Specifically. Why? Because he should be on the field. In my mind, you should be on the field. If you're ready to go, no injuries, your hamstring feel better, you was with your people down in Miami, you've come back here, you should be ready to go.
Right.
What's going on, Christian?
Wouldn't you love to sometimes be able to hear the conversation when the trainer comes to the head coach and says, okay, here's our list. We got this guy, this guy, this guy's coming back today. And then there's a guy, you know, that one guy. Like, are you kidding me?
The trainer's probably standing there like,
just don't kill the messenger, man. This is what we got.
Or he goes in real fast. Harold Landry's not playing. Pratt said Ryan Tannehill's limited. Derrick Henry, he might go out there, but you know Derrick Henry. Let me see who else. Jeffrey Simmons, he's fine. Kristen Fulton, he's not practicing. This guy right here, Caleb Farley, you know he's not practicing. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Back up. What did you say? Who?
You said Fulton?
You said Kristen Fulton? What's wrong with him? Well, coach, he said he's feeling his hamstring. So what you're telling me is he just got here and he's hurt already? Well, he said he's not hurt. Well, why in the hell isn't he practicing? All right. Walk out there. Now you're instantly peeved as a head coach. Because you're like, what is this dude's problem?
Unless, and I will give them the benefit of the doubt, unless the Titans said, hey, Christian, why don't you take it easy today? You know, maybe he has
could have said that.
Hamstring tightness. Hey, just on the bike today. We're going to ease you in slowly. They could have said
they
that.
They could have said that.
But the way that Mike Vrabel has been responding to questions ever since mandatory minicamp and into today, it doesn't sound like that was the case.
So here's a prime example. Last year, what was the biggest thing? Jeffrey Simmons
wasn't practicing.
And what did Vrabel say? What did he say?
Jeffrey has his own program.
Exactly. He's on a pro. Yeah. We straight. We got it. We talked about it. Don't worry. Jeffrey's fine. Why? Jeffrey's this guy.
Because Jeffrey has earned
exactly.
that right.
Jeffrey's a baller, and he's his guy. So I'm going to speak. Hey, don't mess with my guy. We've already discussed. We got it. He and I, we see eye to eye. Don't worry about him. Mm-hmm. We're going to get the deal work. We see it. He's not holding out. Ask him about Kristen Fulton. He skirt around and talk about the team, and we expect everybody else. Instead of saying, well, why didn't he practice if he was not hurt? You could have said to squash all of this, Christian and I talked, and, you know, I got him on a schedule. He'll be fine.
Christian's on his own
program. Exactly. I got him on a schedule. You know, we want to sort of ease him into it. So, but we're good. Nothing's wrong here. But he didn't.
And these are the other things that I notice, right? And you notice them as well. You guys both did. There are certain guys, you ask about them, you get what we just got with Fulton. And then there's, I can't even remember the guy's name, but Jim Wyatt asked about a guy.
I believe
sort
it was
of
Sam Okwuonu.
Yes.
Yeah.
Overachiever. And it was like he couldn't wait to answer the question. Working his tail off, overachieving, making progress, all of these things. And it just makes you wonder. It's like, there are some guys, right, that he's really very willing to talk about. So it's not the same for every player, right? Just like you pointed out with Simmons last year. So I noted that. The other thing I thought was interesting is people did ask about Hopkins. I didn't expect to hear a whole lot. Did you guys glean anything from what we heard about Ryan Tannehill talking to, like, at least he revealed that he did have a comment. That was part of the program, I guess.
We do have a quote from Vrabel on DeAndre Hopkins and his visit.
DeAndre Hopkins, how did that visit go? And are you at the point, do you stay in touch or you just let the Ran and the front office guys handle that?
Well, we'll continue to kind of look through where we're at. As we add free agents and everything else, we follow up. And, you know, I don't think there's anything that's going to happen here today, I would imagine. But there's follow-up every time we come and have conversations, and we'll see where it goes.
I think the biggest thing that I took away, which is what we already knew from Jordan Schultz's report earlier this week, that they're still in communication with him. That we know from Tom Pelissero that they didn't give him a contract, that there were no negotiation talks in his time in Nashville. But it's not like D-Hop left the building and now it's, you know, we'll cut off communication and then we'll just, you know, go from there. I think my biggest takeaway was they're still having those conversations. But overall, I think it's kind of what I expected to hear from Mike Vrabel.
Yeah, he's gone. He's left the building. And we're going to worry about the other free agents that we got to bring in. Yeah, you know, Rand and, you know, whoever. We will continue to talk to his representative, keep in touch, you know, check in periodically. But, you know, that's all I got to say about it. We're just moving on, trying to build a team. That's all. So, I mean, That's not much he can say, because everybody wants to know, you know, not necessarily are you interested in him, because they are. It's the money, you know.
That's big.
That's the biggest thing, and nobody
really wants to say anything.
Yeah,
about money.
They weren't going to go down there. What I would have liked
to have maybe seen the question worded would have been, "Hey, you said you want players that want to be here. Did you get the sense that he has a real interest in being here?" Now, that's what I would have wanted to hear Vrabel say about
him. That is the key in the art of asking questions to Mike Vrabel. You got to push him in a corner.
Yeah.
You give him an open question like, how was D-Hop?
How did it go?
It went well. Yeah, it was good, but we're going to focus on everything else and everybody that's
here. What'd you do in school today, teenage kid? Nothing.
Oh, my goodness.
Can I be excused?
I tell Derek the same thing. Hey, Derek, how was class today? It was good. Okay. What was good about it? Then he'll go back. I said, and then I finally get after like 5-10 minutes. I was like, Derek, why you just can't tell me all of that when I ask you how was class? Because you know I'm going to keep on asking you questions like to pull it out of
you. I'm going to get the info.
Well, it's like, that's how Vrabel is. You gotta. It's kind of like, okay, if you just ask him an open question,
he's gonna start salivating at the mouth. Like, oh, you're not gonna ask me something very incredibly specific. Great, I'll answer it however I damn well choose.
Then you got to get specific with him.
Yeah, we also didn't get really any questions about Ryan Tannehill's. How does he feel physically after the ankle surgery? Because now we won't really get any info on that until they start training camp. But I would imagine that's going to be a topic at that point. Maybe no news is good news, I guess. Like, he had the surgery, remember, it was sort of quick because he wanted to try to get back and play the last game. So it's been a while, but I'm really curious to see when it really starts mattering. Can he move the way he used to move? Because it's a weapon for him. It always has been a weapon for him.
I do think it is a good sign that it wasn't asked, because clearly there wasn't anything on display, at least at OTAs or minicamp, that would lead to those questions. If you see Ryan Tannehill kind of hobbling off the field a little bit or reaching for that ankle, hypothetically, I think that would be a question that would be asked. How you feeling? You know, I know after the surgery or, you know, before the draft you were saying, or after the draft you said the ankle is good, but now you're putting more pressure on it. Now you're doing a little bit more work. Now you're getting back into season form. How we feeling? So I do think that is a good sign.
When it's been 3rd and 8 in the past, defense has had to say, hey, if it's 3rd and 8, watch out. Tannehill, he is smart. He can pick up 3rd and 8. And if you're not careful, he can pick up 15. He can pick up 20. I hope that's the same Ryan Tannehill that we see this year. Because it wasn't after he had the high ankle sprain for obvious reasons. Right. But now hopefully he's all healed up from that.
615-737-1025 is our phone number, and we've got a pretty good giveaway for you. Be the first person to answer Willie's trivia question correctly, and you'll win a pair of tickets to see Nashville Symphony's Black Panther this Friday at the Skirmerhorn Symphony Center.
Okay. I was up in Indiana yesterday. Remember my ABA question? You guys were saying, are you seriously asking about the ABA? Did somebody get the question yesterday,
Nick? Let's go St. Louis Spirits.
That's right, Bob Costas, play-by-play announcer back in the day.
His first gig.
Now, Nick, did somebody get my ABA question yesterday?
Yeah,
please tell me.
Yeah, the first caller did.
First caller got it. See, that wasn't too hard. That wasn't too hard. The Spurs, the Pacers, the four
Sixers?
Teams. No, the Sixers were not in the ABA.
Ah.
The Nets.
Okay.
Spurs,
New York,
Pacers.
They were called the New York Nets. Spurs, Pacers, Nuggets, obviously.
Yeah.
And who did I leave out, the other ABA team? Nets, Spurs, Pacers, and I asked the question. I didn't even remember the answer because I looked it up yesterday.
You said them all. You said all four of them.
Well, yesterday you had to name the other two. It was the Spurs and the Nets that we were looking for. Pacers, Nuggets were the other two.
Okay.
Yeah, because I was in Indiana. So I was in Indiana yesterday. I was thinking about, we saw the exit to Bloomington. I didn't go to Bloomington yesterday, but you drive by the exit that takes you to Bloomington. I've been there. I went to the Bobby Knight basketball camp back in the day. Can you name the 3 years? This is going to be tough unless you know your college hoops. Can you name the 3 years that Bobby Knight's Indiana Hoosiers won national championships? I'll give you the two decades. It's the 70s and the 80s. The 3 years that they won national basketball championships. 615-737-1025. That's 615-737-1025. We're looking for three seasons. under the general, Bobby Knight.
My favorite chair thrower.
Gotta be.
Gotta be. The one and only chair thrower. Coming up next, we have yet another champion in this championship season. And I know one city in particular is overjoyed, and rightfully so. Is there another city in America that's happy for him? We'll get into that coming up next. Caroline Willie DeMace, 1025, 1063, The Game. Caroline Willie DeMace, 1025, 1063, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. We have our Stanley Cup winner. The Vegas Golden Knights take it in five games. A gentleman's sweep, if you will. And they absolutely slaughtered the Panthers last night. 9-3 final score. I mean, that's like a football score. 9-3? Yeah.
That had never happened, I don't think, in a Stanley Cup final deciding game. Nobody's ever given up nine. Well, that was...
first half of everything.
Yeah, and there was one of them was, look, the game was over, and they still tried to pull the goalie and go for it. So
it's like, why?
Why?
Just leave the goalie.
I see the don't give up.
So you're saying there's a chance.
So that added to, like, they were like, Paul Maurice, I'm sure, was like, hey, look, what's the difference? We give up seven, we give up eight, who cares?
It don't matter.
And then they scored one at the end with like 12 seconds left with the goalie in. Like, oh, man, what's going on?
How do you react to that as a Panthers fan?
As a Panther fan, I mean,
to that final goal, I mean, is it like, yeah.
Whatever.
You left already.
Yeah.
If you were a fan, you left the building already.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So you probably didn't see it. If you're watching on television, hopefully you turned it off.
They, the Panthers, it has to sting right now, but they beat the Bruins, greatest regular season of all time. Then they beat the Maple Leafs and the Hurricanes, two 115-point teams, 50 win teams. So that was an amazing run. Like there was somebody that made this is the kind of thing. I don't know why I even look, because it's like it's clickbait.
But you did.
It's clickbait.
You did.
Don't look at it.
You couldn't.
But I had to look at it. There was some guy in Philadelphia that went off and said, hey, I still think the Sixers are better than the Nuggets.
I did see that.
What? Because the Nuggets, his argument, I was like, I just have to see what this argument is. Like, is this even worthy of saying on the radio? And here I am saying it. But his argument was the Nuggets beat a couple of eight seeds.
Uh-huh.
They didn't have to beat a great team to win the title. Mm-hmm. Right? And the Panthers, flipping back over to the hockey, they beat three incredible regular season teams, including the best regular season team of all time, to get there.
Mm-hmm.
And so... you know, I can see that there's definitely meaning there, even though they didn't, quote, win the title. So the Panthers, this will sting. They didn't have Tkachuk. He got hurt. That probably took any. And by the way, our guy from the new Zen Sports.
Oh, yeah.
Remember, I asked him yesterday, and he admitted he was a Panther. So I was like, he was picking from his heart a little bit there. That didn't look so good in retrospect. He said, no Tkachuk? That's all right. They're going to find a way. Meanwhile, Vegas, I mean, they were very solid from start to finish.
Well, yeah, obviously, you know, this Vegas team was the better team this year in the finals, regardless of what Florida was able to accomplish, you know, as far as that gauntlet they had to go through. When they ultimately got in the Stanley Cup, the Knights were better.
They were flat out better.
A dominant team.
And the Knights were flat out better than all of the teams that they played, which was, that's saying something, right? It was a little, I mean, it wasn't quite as dominating as the Avalanche last year, but they were clearly better. The only team that really pushed them was the Oilers, and you could argue that might be the second best team that they played during that run.
And with the Oilers, too, I saw this stat that was for every year that the Oilers picked number one overall, the second overall pick in those 4 years has a Stanley Cup, which has just got to be brutal. But I do, and none of the Oilers players do, but I did see that there were several Vegas Golden Knights fans that were holding signs that said, we've been waiting 6 long years for this.
They are rubbing it in, aren't they?
I don't know how many cities there are in the United States and Canada. I mean, thousands. I think every single city in the United States and Canada, except for Vegas and maybe Seattle, we're looking at Vegas like, oh my gosh, shut up. Like, Toronto was probably looking at that like, you have no idea what this is like.
And they're playing
it up. You
don't
know what suffering is like.
That is awesome. That reminds me of the great Bob Ryan, who still you'll see on some of these shows on, on ESPN, you know, the different ones where they bring on the panelists and everything. But he's been on there forever. Great writer for the Boston Globe. Remember the Aaron Boone? They ripped the heart out of the Red Sox in Game 7, and then the Yankees played the Marlins in the World Series. This is before the Red Sox won the World Series four different times since then. But you know, the Red Sox were at the peak of the heartache, and they asked Bob, who are you rooting for in the World Series? He goes, I'm rooting for the Yankees. You know, and he's a Boston guy. He goes, because the Marlins, I don't want the Marlins to win for a second time. This is ridiculous. They don't know pain. Yeah, come on. So Marlins are like Vegas.
That's going to do it for us today. We'll be back tomorrow at 11 a.m. Stillman & Company is up next.
Be love and love on somebody, Pete.
What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America, discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear. Strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/ohio's time.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNC 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Catch the NBA playoffs on Sling TV, the most flexible live TV streaming service, putting consumers in control to watch games their way with flexible subscriptions. Want to catch one game or a full series on ESPN? Grab a 1, 3, or 7-day pass. If you want to catch as many games as possible, get a monthly subscription with our ABC, NBC, and ESPN combo package. Either way, Sling lets you watch the playoffs your way with no long-term contracts. Learn more at Sling.com.